listening to, what was the name of that guy?
Paul Brox.
The notion that what you are, what a self is just a story you tell, has some scientific authority behind it.
Does it? Because I actually didn't exactly know what he's talking about.
Well, V.S. Ramachandran, who's a world-famous neurologist, also believes that what is peculiarly human about us is our ability to construct stories. And he says this ability is new, or relatively new. It happened at a particular moment in time, and he thinks he knows about when.
Maybe 200,000 years ago, 500,000 years ago, something absolutely astonishing happened.
What?
The evolution of introspective consciousness and the evolution of the self.
The evolution of introspective consciousness. What does that mean?
Well, let's do this simply and back up for a minute. Uh-huh. There are different sets of creatures in the world. There are dumb ones, there are smarter ones, and then there's us.
Okay.
So let's just choose, say, a worm for our dumb candidate. Imagine you're a worm, you're crawling through the ground like worms like to do, and you bump into a pebble. Now here's what a worm doesn't do. A worm doesn't think, dang, I can't seem to move this pebble.
Uh-huh.
Because a worm doesn't have a brain big enough or a nervous system strong enough to support the idea of dang, me, pebble.
Certainly not dang.
There's no, I'm not a worm. But as far as V.S. Ramachandran is concerned, inside the worm's head, there is no picture at all. There's just a set of inherited instincts. No pictures in that worm's head, no story there.
Okay.
So let's step up to another level of creature. You give me a creature, but it has to be a more complex one.
Okay. How about going back to the monkey?
Okay, monkey. Monkey swinging through trees. Monkey sees a lady monkey. The lady monkey, if it has a red, how should I put this, bottom, then the lady monkey is interested in sex. So if you notice, says Dr. Ramachandran, if that rump is
red, red rumps of female primates.
I like the way he says red rumps.
I claim a monkey, after seeing red, can react to it. Maybe can even remember the red and do the appropriate reaction.
And the appropriate reaction in this case would be to grab that lady monkey and, you know, make a baby with her. This monkey pulls an image of another monkey in, makes an association, and so there's images in the monkey's head, but now here's something the monkey can't do.
It can't juggle the symbol red in its head.
So if I said to a monkey, see that Volvo over there, that white Volvo? Let's make it a red Volvo. Any human being can take a white car and make it in their imagination.
He can paste red on it in his imagination.
But a monkey you don't think can do.
It cannot do.
And this is so simple for a human being to do. And let's run through a quick exercise.
Okay.
Imagine for me a bird in your head. Got a bird in there?
Yeah, what kind of bird?
A canary.
Yes, now
it's
there.
Is it there? Okay.
It's there.
Make it into a brilliantly red canary, even though.
Okay, like kind of a cardinal, but canary's body. It's
that's
there.
That's right. Now make it into a striped canary.
Striped. What color stripes?
Purple.
Purple.
Purple stripes.
Purple stripes on a red canary. Wait, hold up. Purple stripes on a red canary. Got it.
Is it in there now?
It's there. in all its vivid glory.
Ornithological stripedness is not one of your favorites. All right, so at this moment, I'm going to point out something to you. There is no such thing as a purple-striped red canary in the world. You could search the world and never find one.
That does not surprise me.
But you've got one now in your head, however lamely. It's in there somewhere. Only a human being could do this because only humans can take images from the real world, pull them into their heads, divide them into parts, and then start turning those parts into abstractions. Monkeys, says Ramachandran, can't do that.
A monkey can be trained to think of a bird. Ring a bell and show it a bird. And the fifth time you just ring a bell, presumably it's conjuring up an image of a bird. Now, you can not only train a human to think of a bird, you can train a human to think of babies, but now the human can think of a bird's wings on a human baby, conjure an angel, which he has never seen. This is because he now has what are called tokens. He has created disembodied tokens.
So color is
wings.
A token, big is a token, adjectives are tokens.
Adjectives are tokens. And then he can manipulate these tokens, juxtapose them in counterintuitive ways. He can create even outlandish scenarios, what we call imagination.
Let me see if I can get this straight.
Okay.
You've got the worm who can sense the world, sort of, and then you've got the monkey who can pull the world in to some degree and make an association.
Right.
Then you've got us, and we can play with those associations.
Right.
How did that happen?
Well, because of evolution. It's like we're not different from other creatures. We're just more than other creatures. And when we have these brains that have this extra, like, you know, it's like a layer on a layer cake, we can manipulate any idea at all. And we're constantly doing that. We're constantly abstracting. We are imagining so often, so thoroughly, and so well that we eventually can imagine ourselves. I can sit here looking right at you, and I can see you right now as Jad the little boy, if I want, or Jad the old dying man, if I want, or Jad with purple stripes and an elegant set of taffeta wings. The idea of self, if you think about it this way, is you take all the things that have ever happened to you, pluck from your life. If you're sad, you might pluck the sad things. If you're happy on a particular day, you might pluck the happy things. And you stitch them together into a general abstract idea. And me, then, an idea of self is really a story that we tell ourselves. It can change from day to day. And it allows the human being to exercise that peculiarly human muscle to experience stuff and then to abstract it into a story.
Mm.
That's self.